Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. It is a beautiful new moon feast day. Beautiful new moon feast day of the sixth month. That is what I'm on. This is the calendar I'm following. The new moon came in or sometime around last night or this morning. And it's the start of the first day of the sixth month. Count to seven. There's your new Shabbat. And to help me confirm this, which I love when Yah does this to me, I happened to ask my daughter Friday to send me a verse or whatever verse she liked. And she told me, well, I wanted to select a verse that of a chapter or a book I have not read yet. So she gives me 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5. And the house which I built is great, for great is our Elohim above all Elohim. So that's a great verse. So I just happened to look at it because I know she's not fully there to fully comprehend all of Scripture and to how to break it down. Obviously, she's a teenager, so it's whatever her eyes see. And her Ruach pulled her to this verse. So I did my due diligence and wanted to know it has to be something else connected to this verse because it feels like it's, you know, it's open-ended a little bit. So I went back and saw verse 4. Behold, I build a house to the name of Yahuwah Elohai to dedicate it to him and to burn before him sweet incense and for the continual showbread and for the ascending smoke offerings morning and evening on the Shabbats and on the new moons and on the solemn feast of Yahuwah Elohanu. This is an ordinance forever to Yasharel. This is how the Most High has glorified my confirmations. I said this before many times on this show. Anytime I talk about a topic or a scripture off the top of my head and I don't know where I get it from, the Most High has always shown me after I posted the show, here, this is where you found what you were thinking of. He does this with me almost every single time that I do a good show or I feel like I do a good show for him. He always points me back to, ha, this is where you got that verse from. This is what you were thinking of. He always does this to me, confirming me that I'm on the right track, confirming me with the relationship with the Father and the Son dwells within me. This is how you help your Ruach. This is how you are obedient unto him because he checks you. You thinking that the Most High is not listening to you or the Ruach of wisdom, the Ruach understanding is not listening to you. What comes out of your mouth, what goes into your Ruach, you think that they're not paying attention. They are always paying attention, especially when you walk in the statutes and the commandments of the Most High, that he pays attention to you because you are connected to the Father through the guarding of commandments, through his obedience, period. I don't do these shows for my own vanity. I don't do these shows for my own glorifying. This is all for him. It's to teach you and tell you that if you do all of what he requires, if you do what he loves and likes, then you will have a certain connection to him, just like you have a connection to your mother or your father when you do something for them. So I told her, I said, the Most High is going to show you many signs and wonders between you and I to show you that as I am connected to the Father, the Heavenly Father, you are connected to me. And then the way I'm raising you is to protect you for end time issues. So when you start understanding this, when you're out of my house, you then can be connected to the Father and he will keep you safe because we are all one, because we're all one body, and because we are all one of the same member. So I needed those type of instances to happen, especially between her and I, with my teenage daughter, so she could understand that if she decides to somehow go into this world to see what it's really about, to go into sin, that she will be reproved, reproached, corrected, and then she will come back to me just like Yasharel has left and went whoring after other idols or in sin and come back to understand that we have a redeemer. We have someone that will fight for us, not fight against us. And this is how you should be raising your children. You should be including them in the scriptures that you learn. You should be showing them, hey, this happened to you because Yah saw this. And that's how I address her. Anytime she missteps, like, for instance, it was a couple years ago, though, when she was still in middle school. They had, like, some Christmas event or, like, a Christmas dress-up thing. And they wanted everybody to wear their Christmas sweaters to school. She knows that we don't participate or observe Christmas anymore. And we haven't for a longer period of time. So for some reason, she was with her mother. She went to school. She had to come see me after school because she had tennis practice. So she shows up at Midtown Athletic Club wearing a Grinch sweatshirt or Grinch outfit. Now, I told her, I said, you know that we don't participate in anything Christmas. So why did you wear that? And she felt shamed. And I said, the reason why you came to see me before you change your clothes for tennis is so the Most High can show me what you were doing that went against not only his law, but went against my wishes. And she felt bad, and that's the last time she ever done it. That's the last time she's ever done it. She did the same thing with me when I told her we weren't eating unclean foods. We weren't eating the roaches of the sea. And she made a mistake and was eating sushi that had shrimp in it. And she had diarrhea. And I told her, I said, this is how the Most High is teaching you that the laws within our household will be followed regardless of what house you go into, what university you go into, what dorm room you go into. Those laws, those statutes, that commandment, that Torah is going to follow you for wherever you go, regardless. And she started to understand that. And then recently, she went with her mother to Vegas, Las Vegas, a couple months ago. And she told her mother, like, we shouldn't be eating shrimp. They're unclean. You're not supposed to eat that. So now she's teaching her mother the Torah. And her mother's like, it's all right. So her mother ended up eating, I think it was uncooked or raw piece of shrimp. And she had food poisoning while they were out there on the trip. And then after that, she said she's not eating shrimp again. But like that, it's like I'm showing her and telling her that the power of the Ruach is following her, is with her strongly in a way that she can now feel. She may not understand, but she can now feel when it's a right time to bring up the Torah, to reprove and reproach and correct her mother about unclean foods. And she's starting to learn that power. I just want her to learn it in a way that she can pray fervently to the Most High for other things that she suffers with. She suffers with anxiety, being impatient, and frustration. She suffers with that heavily. So I'm trying to get her in a direction where if she's feeling this way, she's feeling down, she's feeling emotionally unstable, that she can go and call the Father whenever she feel like. She doesn't have to do it when she's just with me. She could do it wherever. And that's what I'm trying to get her to understand now. But we are on the right track, especially when, you know, watering this very, very tender seed into growing into a strong woman of Yahuwah. This is a process that I feel that's necessary. So she is not, you know, confused or bogged down and being deceived by these doctrines that most of these adults are supposedly in the Word, supposedly following Yahuwah, are becoming victims of. Now, in that last episode, in that last rant, I didn't even see a brother come back. I didn't see Yahuwah follower 24 come back and even apologize that he was wrong. Of course he wouldn't. Of course he wouldn't be a man and say, you know what, I was wrong. I looked at the evidence that was presented to me and I was wrong. Of course they didn't say that. Of course. I'm getting used to that. I'm getting used to cowards not being able to say, or a grown man being able to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't research the information deeper than I'm supposed to research it. Of course I'm not going to get an apology. Of course I'm not going to get a recanting. Of course, Yahuwah, which is what you really should be doing it for, probably not is going to get his just due either. And we always bring up this verse by itself, Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of the knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of the knowledge. Because you have rejected the knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim, I will also forget your children. Y'all think he just went away with this, that he said this and just, okay, now that Yahusha has been crucified, resurrected, and now we're waiting upon him, now everything is dead still. that the word is all for naught now because we had a breaking point in prophecy or a breaking point in scripture, that we're in a space of time where all of a sudden nothing is happening. The Most High is not raising up his children, putting down his children, correcting his children, punishing his children. No, we think that we're in some dead space that nothing happens. That's dangerous. I talk about that all the time on this show. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to Yahuwah. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Which means we will go drunk off other nations' doctrines, drunk off other nations' behaviors, drunk on other nations' feast days and pagan holidays. We would go drunk. We would go whoring. We will open our legs up to Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, New Age, Native American spirituality. We would open our legs to these doctrines and go whoring. And then go drunk off the doctrines where we're worshiping rocks, worshiping trees, worshiping the sun, worshiping the moon, worshiping celebrities. To this day, I still never understand that Israelites who are supposed to be in the word, who are posting the word, are still following or popping up on celebrities' pages with their name, their social media names in the like section of celebrity posts, knowing these celebrities are connected to Prince of Freemasonry, Satanism, York Rite, Scottish Rite Freemasonry, and Satan himself. I do not get it. I will never understand it. And these are the same people that have tried to reproach and recorrect other Israelites about following doctrines. I don't know why we can't come away from the celebrity and come away from this world. I don't understand it. I truly don't. I think people want to be groupies, especially grown men. Y'all want to be groupies. What is the point of following a celebrity, especially when you know they stand against Yahuwah himself? Why would you follow them on social media? And why would you let or other brothers who are in the walk see your name under celebrity pages? Why? I don't get it. I've said this before and I still see it today. And I still see these brothers participating, observing the wrong feast days, the wrong Shabbats. They have gone backwards. Why? Because they open their legs up and become whores. Whores to doctrines, whores to the system, and whores to celebrity culture. My people ask counsel at their trees, and their staff declares unto them, for the rock of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their Elohim. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall break wedlock. This is a curse. To be disobedient, to go whoring, is a curse. When he says, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks or poplars and elms, because the shadow of it is good. So you think the Most High can't see you because you're in the undercover of darkness observing these doctrines? You think he don't see you when you're out here participating and observing the feast and the calendar of other heathen Gentiles who going under biblical names such as the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, the Dead Sea Scrolls. This is all prophecy. This is all turning over. We don't do nothing new. We don't do nothing new. We always see this quote, nothing new is done under the sun. We talk about this quote a lot of the times when it comes to this world, but we somehow pause that scripture when it comes to the Dead Sea Scrolls, when it comes to other doctrines, when it comes to the word. We keep falling back into other people's religions, other people's doctrines. Even when the information has been shown to us how we should do these things, how we should worship and observe the feast days, and how we should do it, the calendar, and how we should worship and praise the Most High, Yah, we throw all of that out the window. We throw scripture, we throw books, we throw chapters, we throw all of it out the window just to appease the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I swear, if Yahushua came back now, y'all wouldn't even be able to follow Yahushua because you'd be following the Dead Sea Scrolls and what they said. And you'd be like, no, I'll be for Yahushua. I'll be for Yahushua. No, you wouldn't. That's a lie. That is a lie. You can't follow him now without the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can't follow him now without bringing up the Sadducees. You can't follow him now without following the Pharisees. That's just who we are. That's why we're likened to a bride. That's why the Most High likens us to the moon. Our phases change. We can never be full of light. Every morning, the sun rises in the east, pouring the light into the moon. The Most High rises. His sun rises every morning to pour into us the Ruach of knowledge, the Ruach of understanding, the Ruach HaKodesh. It lasts but for so long. And did we turn ourselves into darkness or the shadow thereof back into other people's doctrines? We follow other people's feast days. We follow other people's pagan holidays. And then he has to get up every morning to show us that we're wrong, to show us that we're incorrect, and then pour more into us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach of knowledge, the Ruach of wisdom, the Ruach of understanding. And sooner or later, after that phase is over, we go back into whoring, opening our legs to other idols, celebrities, doctrines, and we follow them. This is why we're likened to a bride. This is why we're likened to a woman. This is why we're likened to the moon. This is why it's so important to use the sun and the moon during your calendar, because it all comes together. It all shows how we are as women and we whore, we open our legs up to a chafe falling after other nations and other doctrines. And we don't even provide the biblical truth and the biblical facts of why we follow this. We just say it's the Dead Sea Scrolls and that's where we leave it off at. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they break wedlock. For they themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that do not understand shall fall. Most High simply saying that because the word is not dwelling within your hearts, it no longer dwells within your household. So now I'm gonna call these spirits, these unclean rocks, to go into your house because you perverted your way. And now I'm gonna make whores out of your daughters and whores out of your wives. So you won't be able to cling to your wife or cleave to your daughters because they are gonna be so drenched in whoredom that it's gonna smell like bedissi up in your household and you're not gonna be able to control it. Spiritual bedussy. That's what it's going to smell like in your household. And then right after that, usually we go right into captivity. So imagine you following these doctrines now. And sooner or later, what creeps up into your household, into your children, into your woman, a whorish mindset. She may not go out cheating on you. Your daughters may not be all of a sudden living lasciviousnessly, being lasciviousness or showing lasciviousness. It could be just they go back into following whatever religion they came out of or what you coached them out of. They could find the many of doctrines that's in this world now. The many of doctrines that's in this world now, they could adhere to that. Or when they find out you aren't lying or they find out you aren't being truthful. The Ruach has the ability to do that. The Ruach has the ability to use your children to reprove and reproach you. And if you don't think so, let me remind you of a story I told on this podcast. And it was around, I want to say it was around a feast day. No, it was around Day of Atonement. And this is when I wasn't in the relationship I was in now. I was in the one previous to that. And we were having problems. And I was complaining. I was complaining heavily to the Most High about this woman. How it's not working out. I don't know why you did this to me. Why do you choose this for me? Why I don't get it. Like, I was simply putting it all on the Most High. Why this relationship was not happening. Why it was not producing fruit. But producing pine cones. And after I ended this prayer, I went back to the living room. We started watching TV. And at the time, my daughter was reading scripture. I was telling her to read Genesis or read Exodus or whatever the books I was telling her to read. And she couldn't understand a word. So she came to me and she goes, "What is this word?" And the word that she pointed to was blaspheming. So immediately I knew that my prayer wasn't done in righteousness. It was done in a way that I was blaspheming against the Most High God. So right after she told me that, I knew immediately within my Ruach that I needed to repent for what I was saying. And that's what I did. Sooner or later, it will happen to you with your children. If you are raising them upright, they have the ability to reproach you. Most High says in Hosea 5, 4 through 6, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their Elohim, for the Ruach of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known Yahuwah. And the pride of Yasharel testifies to his face. Therefore shall Yasharel and Ephraim shall fall in their iniquity. Yehuda also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek Yahuwah, but they shall not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. Verse 15, I will go and return to my place. Till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction, they will seek me early. Once you know you are wrong, once you know you need to be corrected, you will early seek Yahuwah. You do not want to leave off and not seeking him early. Because if you seek him late, he will then see in your heart that you are stubborn in your ways. Stiff neck in your ways. And people don't understand, brothers don't understand, sisters don't understand that they're embarrassing themselves, truly embarrassing themselves. The more you talk and just move on and glaze over a topic that it needs to be talked about, you setting yourself up. You ain't running from nobody, especially with the Most High. You ain't running from him either. You can seek whatever shelter or whatever post or whatever doctrine, whatever floats your boat. You can hide under that for a time. He will always expose and manifest you into the light for you to be reproached, for you to be corrected. And I said this before. You don't want the Most High correcting you. You'd rather be corrected by your brothers and your sisters and those around you. You don't want to start being corrected by the Most High because you're not going to see where it's coming. And you think you're in control of your member. You would think you're in control of your ruach during this correction, and you're not. You're being led, you're being pulled, especially when the ruach is connected to Yahuwah. He is going to transform it. He is going to lay hold of it with his hands, and then you are not going to know what hit you. Then it's going to really be a humbling and shameful act from you. Then you're really going to be embarrassed. And the Most High can catch us in many ways. Many of ways. I was reading Sirach 38. And it stuck out to me. Honor a physician with the honor due unto him for the uses which ye may have of him. For you, for Yahuwah, has created him. For the Most High comes healing, and he shall receive honor of the king. The skill of the physician shall lift up his head, and in the sight of great men he shall be in admiration. Yahuwah has created medicines out of the earth, and he that is wise will not abhor them. Was not the water made sweet with wood, that the virtue thereof might be known? And he has given men skill, that he might be honored in his marvelous works. With such he heals men and takes away their pains. Of such the apothecary makes a confection, and of his works there is no end, and from his peace over all the earth. My son, in your sickness, be not negligent, but pray unto Yahuwah, and he will make you whole. Leave off from sin and order your hands aright, and cleanse your heart from all wickedness. Give a sweet savor and a memorial of fine flour, and make a fat offering as not being. Like I said before, the more you read scriptures, you know and understand from the prophets, from the kings, from the priests, how they showed love to the Most High, and what he loves is these offerings. And it's offerings of livestock, it's offerings of meat, it's offerings of flour with wine. Easy stuff you buy from the grocery store. He knows we don't have land on top of land to be producing crops. He knows we don't have livestock. But instead of taking your money and putting it into a building fund at a church for a 501c3 is insane. That's why I truly laughed at people, especially Negroes, who go to these boule churches under these false doctrines like Pentecostalism, and sit up there and listen to Prince or Freemason pastors and entertainers to make them feel bad that they're not giving enough money. That whole Marvin Sapp nonsense was hilarious, laughable, but it was also corny and lame, because you know at the end of that, black folk go into these type of environments, these type of conventions, and actually give money to these people. Marvin Sapp sacrificed his own wife. The way I know this is through numerology. She died at 43, and her name was Melinda Prince, in Chaldean, is 43. Marvin Sapp, even on his Instagram profile pic, he has his hand into his suit, the hidden hand. Plain as day. And yet, Negroes do not look at anything that has anything to do with symbolism or numerology. And this is why they get fooled. This is why they get pulled into other doctrines. This is why they have their legs open, ready to be whores. Then wonder why they're not getting blessed. Then wonder why they're waking up with STDs, spiritually transmitted diseases. This is why they don't understand. This is why they have a lack of knowledge. This is why they are destroyed. $40,000. To do what with? They never tell you what they do with this money. You definitely don't see them helping anybody in the community with the money that they raise. They do conventions after conventions after conventions. They're doing these all-male and all-female Christian conventions for what? Where does the money go? You listen to the same watered-down New Testament gospel in your churches, then the same as you listen to in these conventions. You don't do anything but a whole bunch of shucking and jiving, soft-shoeing, tap dancing, and singing. That's it. It's a spiritual whorehouse. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's a brothel, a religious brothel. It's almost the same as you don't, like they say with prostitutes, you don't pay a hoe to have sex with you, you pay the hoe to leave. That's especially what y'all going in these churches for. You're not paying for the word. You paying to be a whore and then leave. You paying to be feeling good and then leave for the rest of the week. Marmoset is a full-fledged Prince of Freemason, and people still don't see that. Then it wasn't even that offering that people should have had a problem with. It was the one before. It was another pastor that stood up for the first offering. Mind you, how many offerings did they have during this convention? The first offering, a pastor stood up and said, I'm looking for 12 people to give $800. Then he said, eight is the number of new beginnings. When pastors start talking about numbers in their sermons, that is a nod to Freemasonry. That is already a dead giveaway. Anytime your pastors start talking about three is the meaning of this, or seven is the meaning of this, eight is the meaning of this. I even heard Keon Henderson talk about four is a powerful number. When you start hearing pastors break out in numerology, that is a nod, or them exposing themselves to you as being part of Freemasonry. Because that's all Freemasonry is. Shapes and numbers. Very basic. Shapes and numbers. That's all it is. This is the reason why Benjamin Banneker, a black prince of Freemason, is credited with the streets of Washington, D.C. Why? Because in the streets of Washington, D.C. is laid out in numerology and symbolism. That's why it has an upside-down pentagram. That's why it has a Freemason symbol. This is why it has a compass. It was because of Benjamin Banneker. So Negroes been following or being whores for a while. And now all they did was bring it into the church to normalize it. That is why you see more Greek pastors in these churches, because they're now using their doctrines to make homosexuality okay. And on top of that, they throw numerology at you. And people do not understand that's what they're doing. Did you know that certain scriptures sound perfectly under numerology? Like Jeremiah 9:11, when it talks about Jerusalem going to be desolate for a time. If I was a numerologist or a Freemason teaching scripture, I would only stick to the scriptures that has something to do with 33:216, which is, if you go to Hosea, when the Most High says, no more call me Baali, that's Hosea 2:16. What's 6 times 6 times 6? 216. I could rip up the whole doctrine of numerology into scripture and just use only numbers. That's what they do in these Christian churches now. This is what they're doing, or this is what these boule pastors are being taught to do. Like Pam, Philip Anthony Mitchell, he recently had another stunt where a guy from West Canada drove from Canada to move where Church 2819 was going to be. And he showed up at this black building, this dark building, which is something else too. Like, why would you want to go into a church that's completely dark and completely black? That just shows you the spiritual darkness in that building, or what, I don't even call it a church, in that building. But it was a young couple, white couple, with a newborn. I would say maybe not even a year old, an infant. And it talked about how he moved from West Canada, and it took him what? 7 days. It took this person 7 days to reach Atlanta. Seven. Which is the seventh letter of the alphabet is G. G is on the Freemason compass, the Freemason square and compass. Seven is supposed to be the number of completion. So he completed his trip in 7 days to church 2819. And people so ignorant, don't understand numerology, sit there and listen to that, this act, this crisis actor, about how he left everything and then Pam is going to give him $50,000 to get him back on his feet. And of course, the guy has to pretend like he didn't want the money. So he did this whole thing about not wanting the money. No, I don't want the money. No, I don't want the money. I don't want this money. And then end up accepting the money and crying in his arms. It's all an act. But when you're so close to celebrity, when you're so close to entertainment, you don't know reality from script. You don't. And it's to a point where reality in itself is scripted. So let me get back to Sirach 38:12. Then give place to the physician, for Yahuwah has created him. Let him not go from you, for you have need of him. There is a time when in their hands there is good success. For they shall also pray unto Yahuwah that he would prosper that which they give for ease and remedy to prolong life. He that sins before his maker, let him fall into the hand of the physician. This has touched my life in a way where I understand that part of scripture. My father's niece, my cousin, from my father's side. Of course, it's my father's side. I said my father's niece. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, she ended up catching COVID, or she had a cough, and she needed to go to the hospital. She went to the hospital. She was in the hospital 6 days. She got worse through some type of COVID cough. So they asked if they could put her out for I don't know what reason, because I have never heard anyone needing to be put out or put on anesthesia for COVID. Never heard of that in my life. But they put her under. She never woke back up. Now she has daughters who became Delta Sigma Thetas. And I know she hasn't been following the law, statutes, commandments. So whatever sins that she had was already added unto her. So she really, I don't know, I'm guessing that she never repented or anything, because the Most High is not going to snatch a mother out of the household for no apparent reason. So she wasn't following the Torah. And of course, if she has children that go into the Greek, you know, that's, again, spiritual whoredom. And not correcting her children, and so they wouldn't follow into these organizations. Hey, I don't know. This is between her and the Most High. But I understand the scripture where it says, he that sins before his maker, let him fall into the hand of the physician. Let him fall into the hand of the physician. So she ended up dying. Dying from COVID, which no one died from COVID, really. It was like a 99% rebound rate if you ever caught it. So if you died, you had pre-existing conditions that you died of. And if you caught COVID, they just said, oh, you died of COVID. So if you had a heart attack and you just happened to have COVID, they would just say you died of COVID. So that goes back to the other point of women without any statistical evidence. When they would say black women were 3 times more likely to die during childbirth, then you would have to think, what type of childbirth are they having? Since we are heavily propagated against to not have spiritual or Yah-led relationships, that we are supposed to have babies out of wedlock. So you think 3 times more likely, and you think the abortion rate, you would say easily that black women are 3 times more likely to die at childbirth, because this is the generation where they're not getting married. Most of the black celebrities or female celebrities are having children out of wedlock because they want to encourage us having children out of wedlock. So then we are offering ourselves up from spiritual whoredom to real whoredom. We're offering ourselves up to a curse. So say if we have the child, the Most High will destroy the child under an unfruitful and an unrighteous household. Then if we get to the pregnancy, then we get to the pregnancy, then you die in pregnancy because you shouldn't be having children out of wedlock. All of these things are a curse. This is how they destroy lineages, generations, bloodlines through our own wickedness, through our own foolishness. And some of us are just lucky that we're able to be understanding of this after we have already had our children out of wedlock. This is why I'm turning my daughter early to scripture. Early. You cannot have the knowledge and understanding that you have now and don't try to clean up the mistakes you made in your past. That will be asinine. You cannot have all this knowledge and understanding and not try to clean up the issues from your past. I don't care if you have to repent, give an offering, fast, whatever. Because we should have been already destroyed. Our children should already be wicked. But because of the grace and long suffering, and because he has called us, has chosen us, not us choosing him, but before time, before we were born, he has called us to him in our respective periods to see how merciful he has been to us. So those of us who had children out of wedlock or came from unrighteous marriages or came from domestic violence situations, now we are able to clean up our acts in order to better our future. So the sins of our forefathers and ourselves won't attack the children. This starts with not opening your legs to spiritual doctrines. It helps your household. Like I said, it is a curse to be disobedient. It is a curse to not have knowledge and understanding. It is a curse to open your legs up to all these false doctrines that become rampant in the last days. It is a curse. And that curse will affect your children. We being the heads of the household, being men, if we go whoring, what is that showing our children and our woman? That it's okay to go out and be whores. They watch us. Subconsciously and consciously, they watch us. And I said this before, when the Most High catches our children, our women whoring, if we are also whoring in doctrine, he is not going to correct them. He's going to allow that shame to build up in your household and take you and that household down. But he's merciful and long-suffering. So as long as you think it'll take you to turn from your wickedness and your stupidity, that is as long as it'll take for you to understand this. Another little story, and I'll end it with this about the whole thing with the physician. I used to pray to the Most High that he deliver up my enemies, those who have wronged me, those who have stolen from me. And I sometimes forget that I even asked of this of the Most High when it was early on in my praying, early on in my awakening. My first thing was, I want to see all my enemies fall before me. Anybody who tried to hurt me or tried to trap me, I want them to fall in front of me. And then over time, after I'm forgetting these are the type of prayers I was praying, I was starting to see my enemies fall. The guy that was caught stealing money from other NFL players, his name was Martin Blazer. He ended up being a snitch, or he ended up turning witness to help trap NCAA coaches that were using university money to pay athletes' families for them to go to the university. He started to be an informant for that. And he had just happened to have to get a heart attack and die a couple of years ago. Now, coming to me, I had a bar in South Beach called Foxhole. And I was supposed to get money after I've already gotten my investment out. I was supposed to pull a percentage every month. I wasn't getting the percentage. They were going behind my back and stealing the money. So he ended up having a heart attack and died. Leaves behind two children and a wife. Then the guy I did the business with, he was a promoter out here. He used to work at Live at the Fountain Blue. So me and him was the one that was really getting into it. We came up with this little company and we were going to work side by side and, make the bar successful. Then he left. He reneged on the deal. So he leaves to go to California. He opens up another bar. Get kicked out of that bar because he's been doing what he's been doing in Miami, sleeping with the waitresses. Gets married. Gets divorced. Remarries again. Goes to India. Goes to, somewhere in India. And he was riding a motorcycle because he's a motorcycle rider. And he gets in an accident. Loses his leg. And that was recently, like a couple years ago. And he loses his leg and he creates a GoFundMe because now he has to be flown out of India and to have, surgery. And of course, now my brother told me this, that he has like one leg now. They had to amputate the leg. His dad is like, the University of Pittsburgh president. So I'm like, I laughed to myself, like the financial thing when they say, it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. So I kind of laughed at that. So I sort of remember all the prayers I used to pray when I said I wanted my enemies to fall. I wanted them, to be destroyed and punished for, like he says, I would be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. And that has never been more true to this day. Like I said before, y'all think Most High is asleep. He ain't doing nothing up there. He's not ordering his angels and ordering these unclean ruachs to exact vengeance and judgment on those that hurt his children or those who are trodden down his children. Y'all think he's up there sleeping right now. While y'all down here participating in the horse doctrines of the Dead Sea Scrolls, y'all think he's not up there he's not up there working. So when I start hearing these stories and things I don't even ask for, I don't ask to say, hey, this is how this person's doing. Hey, is this how this person's doing? Nothing. This information just comes to me. And I'm like, and I always think about, the Most High got me then. I ain't got nothing to worry about. I couldn't do anything on my own. I would fail if I tried to exact my own justice, my own judgment, and my own vengeance on my enemies. It's better than let the Most High get them. Because he could do it in a way that is clean. And that it'll definitely lift your spirits. You definitely sleep with a smile on your face, knowing that the Most High is up there doing exactly what he said he was going to do in Scripture. And the more you put your heart to it, the more you put your ruach to the word, then he finds more cause to defend you. You think the Most High wants us out here to be trodden down all the time? I mean, some of it's for character development, but you think he really is out here just watching his children fail and suffer, especially when he hates wickedness more than he would hate to punish us? The Most High comes across to me as a father that once he punishes, like, it hurts me more than it hurts you type of parent. Because he really don't want to do it. He said this. I didn't create you for you to even taste death. I didn't create you so I would have to ever punish you and put you in captivity. You have done this by turning my word into nothing. I will not allow my word to come to nothing in front of other people that I have not chosen. It will make my name of no account among the heathen if I don't do this. All y'all have to do is follow the word as is. I don't see how hard that is to do. I really don't. Why set yourself up for this final destination of judgment? Why get tormented and put to shame through your own actions over a period of time because you did not want to repent or show remorse. Why dwell in your pride? Because there's a lot of people out here getting sacrificed off pride alone. But this is what the Most High has called for us to do. To understand all of it, what pleases him, what pisses him off, so we can order our steps right. And not only just us, but our households too. I'll see y'all Wednesday.